Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
As promised, voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, with us. Always great to have you, Mike.
It's great to be here. Well, I mean, it's great to come downstairs.
Right.
I'm here every day.
Thank you for joining us.
I'm glad you're here.
Yes.
Thank great you. To have us here.
It's tremendous to have you here, Snack.
What I'm, hearing, what I'm glad. Hearing is it's great not to be at the VFW or something. Like there's football for me to watch. Yeah, I don't have to talk to a group.
That's not true. And see, you always start that and you make people think that I don't. I'm going out tomorrow.
Everybody knows you love to do the VFW.
I'm going to the Clarksville Kiwanis Club tomorrow.
All your thoughts.
And I look forward to being with them. It's a great group.
I'm sure it's a fine group.
But Mike's right. Like there are certain things that you'll say that if you're just driving around listening to us, you assume that Mike said something off air that
right.
you're now bringing
which
on air.
Which is 100% not true.
Now, I never felt
you
that
make it
way,
sound like an inside joke where he hates
right.
it.
Yeah, it's like, people oh, there's that nothing like that he dislikes more than a Rotary Club somewhere. That is 100% not true.
And I acknowledge it's not true, but if people accidentally think that, it makes it funnier radio.
Well, of course it does. For you.
Yeah, for
but
me,
when,
it's great.
But then when you
but
show
you
up.
And the Clarksville Kiwanis.
And they come in and they go, oh, God. So you really don't want to be
here
comes huh?
the big timer.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, he doesn't want to be here.
Much like.
I think the Kiwanis guys don't want to be there.
No, they want to be there.
They would have liked wow.
Yeah, that, I could see you in a service club.
With
that
Mike
would be
Keith
great.
There, they want to be there. That's
that
for sure.
Would be so great. You doing the pancake breakfast to raise money for something.
Yeah,
yeah, that would in the bacon.
That would go over great.
I would eat if it was if I had given a choice between sleeping or showing up at that, I'd sleep.
Yeah, that's right. This helped the kids. No, I'm going to take an extra hour to sleep in.
Much like evil Mark Richt, I like the idea of this myth of evil Mikey, where he's like a real problem to handle at the Kiwanis Club. All these demands he makes. I will need a third lunch while I'm here. Thank you.
I want a large water.
Walks in and knocks drinks off tables that aren't in the right place.
Have you talked to Theus about his Pruitt interaction?
No. What did he say?
No, I haven't talked to him either, but he was central in
so,
the whole...
There's this big expose at dognation.com, and it's a three-part series on what went wrong with Jeremy Pruitt. Yeah. What went wrong with Jeremy Pruitt at Georgia, and it's a lot of different pieces to it, Brian. Schottenheimer was a mess. Mark Richt was sort of on his way out. Jeremy Pruitt was hired to kind of crack the whip with the program. But one of the stories in there was that John Theus and... I think maybe, I forget the exact, it was a star lineman for Georgia at the time. They get in a fight at practice. Well, they had a zero tolerance policy with fighting. If two guys got into a fight, they got kicked out of practice.
Okay.
At that point. So Jeremy Pruitt, when this fight happens, is incensed that Mark Richt won't kick both guys out of practice. So he's trying to kick the guys out of practice, and Richt says, no, we can't not play with Theus and the other star linemen. They get to stay. So Jeremy Pruitt apparently took the ball and left. Grabbed the rest of the footballs and walked out and said, practice is over, and had his defensive guys leave the practice field. And this was in front of boosters and a lot of other people during spring practice. You know, so we've been waiting to ask Theus about this account and see if it's accurate.
Well, that'll be interesting, I guess. My general reaction to that is I don't care. as the coach at Tennessee now, I don't care. I really don't. I mean, he's the coach.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants now as that coach.
Everything at Georgia needed to be changed anyway, as told by Mark Richt going to Miami and doing just fine, and Kirby Smart coming in there and taking him to the national championship game. So there was obviously some sort of problem.
I think Andy Staples wrote it and said it best. He said it was half measure followed by full measure, quoting Breaking Bad. Jeremy Pruitt was the half measure to crack the whip and try to become more like Saban. That didn't work. He just butted heads with Mark Richt. So Mark Richt Lee, he gets fired, goes to Miami. Then they go full measure and bring in Kirby Smart,
right.
Who's all Nick Saban and all of his assistants.
Right. Well, I mean, that's great. But, you know, that whole thing getting played up, I guess, is what you do in July. The end of this week, they'll get on to something more serious in Athens than in Knoxville, right? We're on to serious stuff here, though.
Yes. Voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, with us. Pace of practice. How does this pace compare to years past?
You know, it's funny because it was go, 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 go until today when they, in essence, did, I mean, the non-scripted situational, it wasn't like a full contact scrimmage, but it was offense versus defense, ones against ones, twos against twos. I think they did some threes against threes, basically. But, I mean, it goes. I mean, the practice goes, and even when you're in your off periods, you're doing something. And that's been the thing that I've noticed the most. Today it was a little different, though, because guys are standing around because they have to be prepared to check into the lineup when it's their time to go. It was fun to watch this practice. This was the best one so far to me in terms of viewing.
Yeah, that was another thing, Hutt. It was fun. If somebody went down, they wanted the next guy ready. You know, they'd call second field goal to be ready. It had a game feel to it. Let's face it, too.
You get to this point in practice, and you've watched them go 5 days. You get to about 11:15, you're like, what's for lunch? I wonder what's coming. This one, not at all. I mean, it flew by because, and I think for the players, too, I think that was one thing in the design of this. Perfect day to do it. Perfect day to do it. You're in day five. You've been doing all the drills. You've been doing everything scripted, all the situational stuff. Today, you had to go on what you knew, and you hadn't schemed against the other side. You had to run your stuff and run it well. Offense took the ball right down the field the first drive. They looked really good. Mariota fumbles on a sprint out. They lose the ball, and then it goes back to the defense for sort of the rest of the time. And then the offense has a decent close. You know, they have a nice 2 minute right at the end, which is good. The defense still, I think, is outperforming the offense to this point, which is not really a huge surprise.
I did not see for myself the fourth and two to Taylor. Talk us through that.
Beautiful play. Throw. I mean, he just read
about
it.
20 yards?
Oh, it was longer than that. I mean, it was probably a 35, 40-yard throw. It was a go route, and Taylor continues to beat people. He continues to separate. If the ball's there, he's making plays because he's using his speed well. He's still got some mental parts of the game that he's got to take care of. You know, that was some of the area where he fell down and didn't get as many chances the second half of last year. But he's clearly a much improved player.
He played 61% in the slot last year. I think that's from Evan Silva. He told me the other day he has played 100% of his snaps on the outside here. How much do you think he's now an outside receiver? How much do you think that when Rashard is back, presuming Rashard is back, and there's a big shroud of mystery there, that he'd still be in the mix in the slot?
I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to be a lot three wide. And so they're going to want him on the outside to be able to use him in that way. But
so Matthews maybe wind up in there?
I don't know. That's a really good question, Paul. I honestly, and I'm not meaning to be flippant, I don't know. I just haven't seen enough of Matthews within what they did because he's been banged up enough that he did not practice as much in the spring. I'm going to be interested to see because you would think they want to use Taywan's speed on the outside. He clearly has a ton of speed. It's so great that you guys play Maroon 5 for Kaharski. I know.
Yep. It really gets him going.
That and boy bands are his thing.
He celebrates their entire catalog.
Yeah. He celebrates
it. I think I know Maroon 5 mostly from the fact that I think they toured with Train once upon a time.
Probably so.
And I like Train.
I'm guessing Train toured with them.
Now.
To be clear,
is Maroon 5 big?
Yeah.
Adam Levine.
I bet Simon knows them. Simon knows
anything that's in a movie soundtrack. He knows.
Well, but who? Y'all recently? We went to see who?
We went to see Imagine Dragons.
Imagine Dragons. Yes. If well, he likes Imagine Dragons,
that's pretty good. Actually,
his first concert.
I mean, that's a pretty good first concert.
I had a good conversation with him. I said, "We could go to your second concert. It could be great." And you could say, "That's the worst concert I've ever seen." If it's not quite as good as Imagine Dragons.
Imagine Dragons is a pretty good... I can't even bust you on that.
He's totally in.
That's
the guy
strong.
Comes out with his shirt off, and I immediately lean over to Teresa and say, the kid hardly wears a shirt around the house as it is. He's never going to wear one again now.
Voice of the Titans, Mike Keith with
us. It's like how Karski does here at practice. Walk around, pretty much.
I wore a green shirt yesterday, and Taylor Lewan, three different occasions, said to me, it's a little early for a holiday shirt, Paul. So today I saw him. I go, you know, you were talking. And he said something about this shirt, which is almost the Titans color, light blue, dry fit.
Nowhere close to Titans color.
And I said,
just
he
for
said
those,
something about
for
the
those
shirt
listening
again.
At home.
Close to a Jags color.
He said something about the shirt again. And I go, Taylor, it's cute that you want to talk to me about my clothes. You know, the last guy that was big on talking to me about my clothes, Pac-Man Jones, who used to make fun of my shoes. So I'm thankful you're at least not a convict.
Well, at least he's got that going for him.
Mike got a little late.
Oh, don't we all miss Pac-Man?
No, we don't.
No.
You spent time defending that guy. What was that like?
I did not spend time defending that
guy.
You
were a member of the organization. What the organization did is baby and coddle the guy.
Whoa.
Did you ever get your turn to swaddle him, or did you miss that?
I don't think I ever.
Fisher never brought him in and said, hey, Mike, give him a bottle in 20 minutes. I'll be back in an hour.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
That's what the organization did.
Yeah, that's nice. Okay.
I feel like you were an enabler of some of his crime.
That I was
Pac-Man. You spit on a woman.
Evil Mike E strikes
again.
On the way to the Kiwanis? Is that? That's so bad.
I heard that you and Pac and George Jones were riding ATVs around his property.
Yeah, George Jones. George was a big fan of Pac-Man.
Weren't they neighbors?
They were neighbors, yes. They were huge fans of one another. Very close.
I want Jim to add chapters to Tales from a Titan Sideline from the Pac-Man as the beat writer for the Tennessean. That would be
fun
amazing.
Fun times.
How good Pac-Man could have his retirement ceremony at the George Jones. That's yeah. Where
that'd be great.
That'd be so fitting.
Speaking of corners who came here with great hopes.
Oh, wow. Nice
one.
Nice
looks
seg.
Like he could live up to it. Malcolm Butler's been just fantastic so
player.
Far.
He's a really good player. It's fun to watch the way he competes, the way he goes after it all the time. Loves the one-on-one. And you know, it's been a long time since we've had a corner who could really play one-on-one like that. And you know, what's really funny to me is with all the talk about Butler because he makes so many things happen, I don't think we're talking about Adoree Jackson enough. I mean, that's a guy who's really having a nice camp, but Butler is sort of grabbing all the oxygen and the headlines because he's Malcolm Butler and because we're still talking about the Super Bowl.
I think Adoree's been excellent also, but he's been on the losing end of a couple more plays than Butler has. Darius Jennings' dive yesterday was on Adoree.
I don't know. There was
Corey Davis's fantastic catch in the end zone was on Adoree.
But in day two, I mean, Butler got beat a few times as well. Butler will get beat. I mean, he is not perfect. I think the thing I like about Butler is the way it's like, okay, you just caught a pass, so what? Now we're going to go to the next play, and I'm going to bat the ball out, or I'm going to step in front and make something happen. He plays it like the ball is his, too, which it is.
Yes.
But most corners are so defensive now. It's like, well, I got 74 PBUs and no interceptions. This guy's playing for takeaways. He's like, okay, you got me twice, but I may be able to get the football back.
The one thing I've kept saying here, and I think he and the corners have been excellent, but they're also occasionally going against Darius Jennings and Nick Williams and Michael Campanaro, who are not the caliber of the players they're going to be asked to stop during the regular
season. That hasn't always mattered. I mean, there have been times where receivers like that have given us the business, and we're so much better at these spots. I mean, granted, it's not DeAndre Hopkins every snap. I understand what you're saying. But the fact of the matter is, to be in this defense, and I think with the pass rush, we're going to have a chance to create with the way Dean Pease is going to bring pressure from all areas, regardless of who the receiver is. I think this group, as a group, is going to make more plays. The other thing I see in this defense, too, that excites me is how many times have we seen the safeties show up? We've seen Cyprian make plays. Today we saw Byard
picked up both the fumbles.
Byard picked up both the fumbles, but he also had a sack on a blitz. That he got Mariota at like the 2 yard line that made it third and forever, so they had to check some pass down at third down. And we've seen other Kendrick Lewis has shown up, the new safety who's not a new safety in this league. He's been in the league for quite a while, played at Ole Miss years ago. He's done a good job. I like what the defense does for the safeties. Pease said it would. It certainly did in Baltimore, and to this point, it looks like that may be another positive change.
And to follow up, Paul, on the cornerback discussion. Do you remember the corners the last time Luck faced the Titans?
Oh, I mean, it was Bleedy Ray Wilson, probably. No. And
Jason McCourty, Parrish Cox, Antoine Blake, and Bryce McCain.
Yeah.
Now, compare that four to this four.
No comparison.
With Butler, Jackson, Ryan, and Sims.
Yeah. No comparison.
And Smith.
Yeah.
They're five, quality five deep. You were talking about the defense and the scope of the defense, how good you think the defense could be. I'm jumping in with the one thing I think is the missing element there. Not that you would necessarily know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But are Arakpo, Morgan, Landry collectively dynamic enough, consistent, dynamic enough, often enough? That's what you need in a great defense. Now, you could be a great defense without a spectacular pass rush. But is the pass rush good enough? I think that's the universal question. Is the pass rush going to be good enough consistently?
It's totally fair, because if you're going to be great in this defense, in a 3-4, the outside linebackers have to do it. You know, it's the baseball analogy that the 3 and the 4 hitters have to. If you're going to have a good offensive baseball, those two guys have to hit. And it's totally fair. You know, because there are situations where you can't blitz, where you have to play somebody straight up, and you just have to win, and those players have to be dynamic enough to be able to win. I think they certainly can. I think Arakpo and Morgan certainly can. Health is an issue, and you hang on to that. But to me, it's not Arakpo and Morgan. It's the depth behind them, because you always have to play 3-4 guys at those spots. You always have to find that depth. Is Landry going to be ready? Does Caraway step forward? Is Wallace the guy who steps in? What about a guy like Finch? Is there somebody else out there that we're not thinking about, you know, that they go get? But in this defense, those players, outside linebackers, always have to be successful.
Have you noticed Finch?
I have. Yeah, I've been real pleased with Finch. I tell you who else I've noticed too, Paul, is Jamel President.
I saw him make a play today.
He's made plays consistently, and he's made some plays in the run game. He's a big guy. People may, in listening to your show, may remember him from Auburn before he went to Illinois. I mean, he's a guy with some talent. It didn't all quite fit together in college the way that he wanted, but, you know, maybe being used in this way in the NFL will work better for him.
Is it fair to say this could be a top 10 defense?
I think it's going to be. I do.
Can it be top 5?
I think it can. I do, and I think it can also...
Depends on pass rush to me.
I agree. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I think they, with a guy like Casey, who is a really special player, with a guy like Woodyard, and really, the other part, too, is with these guys who it just feels like know how to already play this defense, and when we've seen good defenses in this division... They've been teams, and Baltimore was so good at this, so hard to move the ball on for 15 plays. Okay, you get a first down, maybe you get a big play, but, you know, they're going to get you at some point.
You had to drive it.
You had to drive it, and you had to be consistent. This group, I think, is going to make it hard on you. I don't think they're going to give up big plays, largely because of that secondary.
Here's an interesting answer Vrabel gave to a John Glennon question about something from last year's team that he'd like to carry over, and something from last year's team that he feels like needs fixing. And the carryover, he said, was run defense. He said, if we can play run defense like they played run defense last year, that's something to build on. On the get different, he said, this team gave up 8.5 points a fourth quarter last year. That's a finishing mentality that this team has lacked in a lot of ways, even as it's gotten better. We've always talked about putting people away. That was a lot of the beef with Malarkey's style, was that they didn't put people away. Mike Vrabel didn't want to be giving up a touchdown plus a point and a half in the fourth quarter.
Well, it goes to what you say, too, about the pass rush when you're not blitzing. The fourth quarter pass rush, when you're only rushing 4 because you're playing some sort of coverage, you've still got to be able to get there. Yeah, and that's an area where we can certainly improve as a defense in order to take that next step. It's totally fair. It's an area... where I'm not saying the Titans were bad, but if you're going to be elite, you move forward in that way.
Last year's defense, Mike, gave up 30 yards less per game.
Per game.
If they make that same improvement, that's where the pass rush comes in, the sacks, right?
Negative yardage.
That's the negative yardage where you double what you did last year in improvement, and that's where you make the leap inside the top 10.
The run defense was almost identical to 2016. To Coach Vrabel's point, the numbers were almost identical. The pass defense was better. You know, the pass defense did a better job overall and took them from a defense that was in the 20s into the teens, and now you're looking to make that next sort of
thing. And again, Hutt, I understand your theme about total defense, but that's total yards. I'm less concerned with that than really good third down and points.
Points. Sure.
Those are the two things.
615-737-1045 if you'd like to jump in and talk Titans with the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith. Coming back, we'll discuss some offense. We'll discuss Matt LaFleur and this offense just gelling. Because, Paul, we have discussed, we'll have Mike chime in. This will take some time.
Yeah, and I'll ask Mike, and we know how these conversations usually go. Am I being too hard on Marcus Mariota early on?
Yes.
And way to tease, Mike.
Yes.
Tease is a radio concept where I ask it now and you answer it after the
commercial. Oh, that was a tease?
Yeah.
You're a radio guy now?
Nice. Well,
enough to tease.
Yeah. A lot of writers think so.
Is that a good chat?
On 10 to 2. On 10 to 2 for...
So he's not a radio guy when we're at camp.
he's 10 to 10:30, and then he's back with us around 1 o'clock.
All right, until you start talking about
balls in the air.
Until you start talking about the SEC.
I don't have to go to the Kiwanis tomorrow, boys.
Oh, he's doing live spots now.
I know. I would. Yeah,
he's got one right now.
I'd like to have him endorsed by. What is
you
your?
Told me I had no live spots.
No, I'm joking with it. Yeah, what is your? I like watching him scramble because he's never ready.
Go buy Tim's whatever. It's okay. I wouldn't eat there or go there, but
you should.
Hutton told me he went by there once and it looked okay. So whatever.
It's good enough for them, though.
I mean, it's good enough for them. Better than my Andrew people Luck. Go there. People from here. The pizza's bad, but I don't know.
David Reed, can you cut that, please, and send that downstairs to advertising people? They'll be able to sell that.
Oh, this is the midday.
They pay me to say this. I don't know.
Now I sound like Oscar the Grouch.
Pretty much, that's it. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. By Wendy's, voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, with us for another segment. Mike, I've noticed an emphasis on Mariota's footwork.
Yes.
Throughout camp, throughout the offseason, he's put an emphasis on that. Have you noticed that adding more touch to throwing to his right, for instance, which has been something we have discussed a lot on this show? Is it helping him in the accuracy department?
I think so. And I think the reason you do it is you don't do it for July. You do it for November, and you do it for late in games. You know, when you're thinking about it and when you're constantly having time to work on it, then it's one thing. You want it to become second nature, so when you get late in ball games and you get later in the season, it becomes your habit. The main thing that I think is so important is in this offense, they're going to screen. They're going to make some short, quick throws. You've got to be accurate on those throws. You know, you've got to make sure your feet are in the right place, because there are a lot of easy chunks that you get there, and for whatever strange reason, it's almost been a curse of the Titans, never been a good screen team. And
well, never really tried.
Well, but when we have at different points, the throw's a little off, and McNair wasn't great at making those kind of throws either.
Jake Locker was terrible at it.
Well, I mean, we've as a team, you know, as good as the Pittsburgh Steelers have historically been at it, we've always been at the other side, but you've got to take those layups. You can't miss them. Missed a receiver today on a little swing pass that would have been a 10-yard game. Yeah, I mean, you've got to get those. And so those are the areas where he's working. It's not just necessarily the 15-yard throws down the field or the longer throws. And he's made some beautiful long throws in this camp. It's making sure that he's more accurate on everything.
He's made some beautiful long throws at this camp. I think he's left some on the table, too. And O'Hara said, listen, if we're getting 6 out of 10 of those, we're doing great. The completion percentage obviously comes down. But my counter to that is if Davis has got 5 yards on Butler and you make him slow down and let Butler break it up after the thing, I feel like he doesn't yet know these guys as well as he's going to know them, Taylor and Davis in particular.
And that's fair. And I mean, I think that's part of why you're so interested in getting all of these reps, that you'd like to get Matthews back out there. Taylor, the more he's worked with Taywan in these roles the role that Taywan now has, he's gotten more comfortable. So there's something to that, and there's something to what they want him to take. Because the decisions, and you know, that's where Jared Goff went last year, is Jared Goff had started to make such good decisions in this offense about, listen, nobody's saying that you have to make a 20-yard bullet throw accurate down the middle. Why not take the 8-yard throw and have the running back pick up another 12? Don't try to be a hero. This is a user-friendly offense for a quarterback, and making those sorts of choices is a big thing. I think one of the criticisms of the offense a year ago is you had 3rd and 3, and then there was a 25-yard throw down the field that was a 9.7 degree of difficulty. Right. This one, I mean, today we saw great, great circumstance. 3rd and 5, 6-yard throw to Delanie Walker. Guess what? He's gone to the Pro Bowl 3 times. You just paid him $17 million. Get the ball to a real good guy. Those are the things, and that for Marcus is such a help, that I think will make a difference in this offense.
Watch me try to get a nugget here.
Go.
In Igniting the Fire, episode 3, I believe.
Okay.
A series, by the way, that you guys tried too hard to name.
Okay.
Rishard Matthews was viewed catching passes and running routes.
Yes.
So this injury was not prevent him from last season to this season, unless it was a setback on something he had from last season to this season. Were you present? This is all I want to know. Were you present when he suffered the mystery injury, which we'll never get to know what it is?
No. All I did was voice that series.
All you did was voice it? Did you name it?
No. I voiced
it. Good job not naming it.
Again, all he did was voice it.
I thought they did a wonderful job, but all I did was voice it.
Did you have a vote on the name?
I actually did have a vote on the name.
Did you vote for it?
I did vote for that, yes.
He had nothing to do with it. Now it's all his fault.
You didn't hear the other choices.
Yeah, okay, can I?
I mean, what would you have named it? See, as usual, you have no answer. This is what you do. You don't like something, but you have no answer.
Give me a second. I'll come up with it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could have come up with it. You've
hard
hated.
Hard Knocks, colon, Titan Spring.
Hard Knocks, colon.
Colon. The punctuation mark.
I was going to say.
Hard Knocks, colon. Why would that have anything to do with it? I didn't see any matches, any torches, nothing igniting.
But you had nothing. You had nothing. We had to actually come up with something.
If I sat in a meeting, I would have come up with something
better
than
igniting. Paul, have you ever heard a figurative speech? Not literal. Paul wanted to see something on fire.
Pyro.
I'm getting my flamethrower in here.
can we please burn these stands down at some point during the show?
And now he's Al Pacino.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah,
I do a good hoo-ha.
That is special.
You do a good hoo-ha.
You should do that on a live spot.
So you didn't.
He might.
Fred's sandwich shop. I ate the Club Supreme.
It was average.
I want to get Mike your thoughts on a couple of guys. Look, we just finished day 5 here. I get
sure,
this. But this is where we begin to see trends with players that are battling for roster spots at the very end of the roster. And going into camp, I had my eye on Darius Jennings because he's not a new guy, but he's a guy battling for one of those spots.
Sure.
Sharif Finch was an excellent special teams player in college.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you mention this morning on Wake Up Zone, Rico Gafford and mm-hmm. his 40 time.
See Rico Gafford's hit today in the one-on-one drill?
Was that at the end of practice?
That was at the end of when they did the one-on-ones with the receivers going against, or the runners going against the defensive backs when everybody went crazy. That was Rico Gafford live. That was quite a pop.
Who else?
I think Paul saw that.
Did you like that? Gafford, number 40?
Gafford had the hit at the end of the open field drill that Vrabel liked so much.
This morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was here.
Oh, you were giving the report here?
Oh, you were actually on the radio. Good.
Yeah, not for the first half an hour. I missed the open field tackling thing, which I love.
Who else should we pay attention to as we're nearing the first preseason game when we start to form guys that are really battling for the end spot?
Tell me about Ramsey.
Tell you about who?
Ramsey.
Oh, the
Mike Ramsey
lineman
from Duke.
Yes,
oh, yeah. Good player. You know, good defensive lineman. Was an incredibly productive player at Duke. Certainly going to get – he and Dickerson are both going to get a lot of reps in the defensive line. I think we were discussing the 6 defensive linemen. Are there going to be 6 make this team? And those would be guys who would certainly be candidates. We saw Wormsley as promised. Julius Wormsley, the 28-year-old former Dolphin, got a chance to play with the ones today. And Anthony Firkser got a chance to play with the ones with Luke Stocker getting a day off. He got a chance to jump in there and caught a pass and did some pretty nice things. So, I mean, there's several names like that on this roster that are exciting. I'm interested to see Jennings as a gunner on special teams. I want to see how he does.
And he and Sims, I believe, are first team gunners today.
That's how it looked to me, too. I want to see him do that. I also want to see Jordan Veazey on special teams. Jordan Veazey's a wide receiver. I want to see if he gets a chance to play teams, and because he looks like somebody who could go hit somebody on a kickoff or a punt. That could be a way on to this roster for him potentially.
And he's been running the routes that Corey Davis would have when Corey's not practicing.
But he's 6'3", 220. He's a really odd story. He's a guy, he was a baseball player. I believe he's from Gadsden, Alabama. Ended up in junior college. It didn't work out. He left one JUCO, went to another one, had success there, then went to Cal, and had some success. They didn't do a lot in the passing game the last couple years, but he's one that you could say his career has never given him a big opportunity. His talent looks bigger than his resume. And we got a few guys like that, that their talent looked bigger than their resume. Jamel President that I was talking about. Matt Dickerson from UCLA, their talent looked, and we see this all the time in the NFL. I mean, these guys, there are plenty of guys who were okay, Tom Brady, who go on and the pro game, because sometimes guys grow up, sometimes guys get healthy, sometimes guys are just in stable situations. And I the best example of that, I'll never forget, Leonard Little comes to the University of Tennessee. When he first got there, before he had to go to Coffeyville, he gained 7 pounds in 2-a-days. And who gains weight in 2-a-days? Well, the reason is he was raising his siblings while his mother worked 2 jobs. He only ate 1 meal a day at home. How many stories are there similar to that where a guy just gets some stability in his life in a certain way, and then all of a sudden is able to take the next step and be successful?
Those are the great stories for the back end of the roster that will develop over the next 4 weeks.
For sure.
Mike, thank you so much. Always enjoy this chat with you. Let's
great stuff. Say hello to the Kiwanis folks for us.
Clarksville Kiwanis.
Clarksville Kiwanis, you're in for a real tweet tomorrow.
Yes.
Tweet? Did I say tweet?
Tweet.
Yeah.
Is it the Sertoma?
You're in for a tweet and
wait a minute.
Treat.
Wait a minute. Is it? Let me make sure. Hang on. You can't go to break yet. I have to make sure about this, because if I'm wrong, I'm just going to be so embarrassed.
You want to make sure that it's tomorrow.
Oh, what if it's somewhere else?
He's checking the schedule.
You know, it's the Rotary.
Oh, God.
I'm going to the Rotary.
I typed
this wrong. I'm sorry.
I love the shock as he says it. You know, it's the Rotary.
I typed the wrong thing.
Those Rotarians are pissed.
They're like, this guy's giving all our props to the Kiwanis.
Kaharsky rattled me. They'll understand.
Yeah.
They'll understand.
It happened. Uh-huh. It happened.
Uh-huh. I feel an illness coming on in the morning.
Screw that voice of the Titans, Mikey.
I hope not.
He's only coming out here for the Dairy Queen on the way home.
On the way to Katie's.
On the way to Katie's.
When we go see our friends in Katie's, Kentucky.
Mike, thank you.
Thank you, guys.